valley when the clouds were black as night. I've been betrayed by Jesus, my friend who wasn't true. But in the good times or the bad times, Lord, I've learned to lean on you. To supply my every need, I lean on you. I've heard the battle raging, then I prayed till victory came. There have been times I really thought, Lord, you don't even know my name.
But I've been blessed, and I've been down to where I didn't know what to do. But in the times of joy and sorrow, Lord, I've learned to lean on you.
Supply my every need, I lean on
you. Good morning, my brother. So good to be here this morning in the house of the Lord. You glad you're here this morning? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. We have congregated ourselves together to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, and through song and through His scriptures. And so we're so excited to be here. I know that the children's home are away, and the majority of are away today. And so let's remember them as they're away, but let's remember us as we're here. And good to see LC this morning with us here. And I know since he graduated and grew up, went on to bigger and better things, comes by occasionally to see us, and what a blessing that is to see Brother LC with us this morning. I want to mention a few things by way of our bulletin. Do grab a bulletin if you would, if you'd like to stay up on all the things going on around here in the foyer, or to my right, your left, down front. Quite a few folks to remember in prayer this morning. Let's remember Miss Krista Sapp and Don and Carla Rich's daughter. She is going for heart test, I believe, tomorrow. I believe it is. And really not sure what's going on, but we told them we'll be praying for her, for their family. So let's remember them, Miss Krista, in the morning. Also received word. Miss Ruby Harper has a brain tumor, and thank you, Miss Claudia, for letting me know that this week. And so they're trying to figure out what to do in her situation. I know she has a couple other things going on, but let's remember her during this time, Miss Ruby Harper. And I know Brother Bobby McClendon has been sick a while, but he's better now. He's just taking a day or two more before he makes his public appearance again. So before he comes back to be with us. But anyway, Brother Bobby was pretty sick when he missed Nancy. And the Lord has touched him and kept Miss Nancy well, and praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord today for a God that touches and heals. And because it could go either way, anytime. So, but let's continue to remember their family, Kelly and Tanner. Let's remember Lauren Hancock. She has been sick. She's better now. She had COVID, but little Presley has some congestion issues, sinus issues. She doesn't have COVID, but she is she's sick. So we're remembering their family. Brother Trell Norton reached out this week to me, and let's remember his cousin in prayer. Got some feedback, don't we? Some static. But anyway, Pastor Keith Norton, that's the cousin of Brother Trail. He's in the ICU hospital, ICU unit at the hospital in North Carolina. Let's remember him. Mary Kelly, her son, John Scott, has COVID. Let's remember Richard Martin, his wife Deborah, and her kidney failure. Also, Miss Marianne Sandby. She's going to have a consultation here soon, I believe it is, over her knee. So have a knee surgery soon. And so we're praying for her. But also let's remember the Bendys, Miss Shauna, who was back in the hospital this week, another spinal tap. So they're trying to figure out what's going on with her. So let's lift them up in prayer. A lot of prayer requests, a lot of needs. God knows about all of them. A few reminders. We're in a brand new month. Of course, last Sunday was our first Sunday of July, but we are having evening service tonight, praise the Lord. We will be here at 5 o'clock, and so remember that, evening service tonight. Next Sunday, CLU, Calvary's Ladies Union, and if you want to be a part of that and sit in and be blessed on a devotion in a time of togetherness with the ladies of the church, that's next Sunday at 3. Deacons meeting as well at the same time, 3 o'clock. Youth Sunday is on the 24th, and Brother Brian will be preaching that morning. But then Brother Kevin, don't know how aware he is or not. I'm sure he is aware to some degree, but he'll be preaching that night. And so looking forward to that. Last Sunday night fellowship, of course, the last Sunday night of the month, Brother CJ will be bringing the devotion that night. Just move some pieces around on our calendar here. Camp Ivy will be next Sunday for all of those going to camp, the 17th through the 22nd. And then last but not least, we have Christmas in July coming. We're in July, and so Christmas is coming. That's going to be on Saturday in our fellowship hall at 1 o'clock, the 23rd, ages 50 and up. Bring a $10 wrapped gift. See Miss Sharon Hodges or Miss Marianne Sandvi, I'm sure. Be fine to see her for details as well. So, busy month. We're excited to be busy. And let's just see what the Lord would have for us in this month of July. So good to have those that are visiting with us. You make yourself at home. And I hope that you'll be blessed by being here. Father, we love you today. We thank you. We praise you, Lord, for who you are. And Lord, for the things that you do, we thank you and we praise you. You are long-suffering to usward, and we're thankful for that. God, help us to reach out to the community and share our faith with others, because you're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so, God, help us to just do our part, God, within the body of Christ. Just simply share our faith. Today, God, I lift up all these requests. I pray for each and every person, every life, every situation and circumstance, that you would be at the helm of it. We give you this service this morning. Thank you for the music. Thank you for Brother Allen, the choir, musicians, everyone who has a part. I pray that we'll continue to honor you in music and then in a few moments with the message. All these things we give thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand? Could we sing a chorus this morning of Jesus, Jesus? There's something about that name. Jesus. Yes, there's something about that name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated as well. Choir practice today at 4:30. We're going to bring in some at 4. We're going to start working on some new music. If you've been praying about becoming a part of the choir, it'll be a great opportunity for you. Just meet us here this evening at 4:30, and we'll talk about whatever, answer any questions that you might have. But we'd love to have some new members in the choir. Maybe you've been in the choir before and you want to take this opportunity to come back. We welcome you now. We'd love to have you to come back. We just need some new music. We need some new members. And we just pray the Lord would just continue to bless our music department. We have great musicians, and we're very thankful for them. And we ask that you just continue to pray for the choir and the music department here at Calvary. It's good to be back home. It's good to see you. I missed you guys last weekend. We had a great vacation, a very restful time. It was just much needed. But now I'm back home. I got to go back to work tomorrow. You know how that is. So, we are thankful. The Lord gave us a great trip and traveling mercies. And we just, again, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And we had a great time. But it's good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning. Please remember all the prayer requests that have been mentioned. And we have some that are unspoken. Very serious times some folks are going through. We spoke about this in Sunday school. You never know what the person that is sitting next to you might be going through. You never know about the people that you might come in contact next week might be going through. So let's offer an encouraging word. Give them a smile. You never know how far a smile can go. So encourage someone this week. Tell them about the Lord if you get an opportunity. But I'm telling you, just the smile on your face many times means so much. Some people going through some very difficult times. In the very walls of the church, you just never know what someone might be going through. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Pray for Pastor this morning that the Lord would speak through him what we need to hear. Pray the Lord's hand to be upon him this morning. And let's just pray for one another and ask God's blessing on the offering now in the service. Brother Dion, would you lead us this morning as we pray? Thank you.
I am so thankful this morning that I've been saved, been born into the family of God. There's no greater experience in this life than to come to find the Lord as your personal Savior. I'm so glad to know and can remember the night when I got saved. I hope you can. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted the Lord as your Savior, today would be a great opportunity. I feel His presence in this place today. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you too could be a part of the family of God. I remember that time, and I remember when I got up that I knew that I'd been changed. What a wonderful moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I was His and He's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation, the night I got saved. When I got up,
someone said one time, well, that song doesn't just move me anymore. Well, the words haven't changed. The words are still the same. Many times people say that about songs they've heard through the years, and the words are still the same of these gospel songs. And so If the words haven't changed, what has? Just something to think about this morning. And good to be here again. Good to have our visitors with us. And if you're visiting this morning, you are our special guests. And welcome to Calvary Baptist Church. Or if you're visiting and you've been here before, welcome back to Calvary Baptist Church. The book of Psalms this morning, Psalm 127. Psalm 127. It's going to be our place of reading this morning. The book of Psalms, the book of poetry this morning, Psalm 127. Again, it is a poetical book, the book of Psalms. Much like the book of Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And even it's been even considered that the book of Job is a poetical book. So many books of the Bible have different headlines, different categories they fit in. And we're looking at a poetical book this morning, the book of Psalms. Of course, David wrote most of the Psalms, and we know that he wrote most of these Psalms being inspired out of life situations. If you live life long enough, you'll learn a few things. And whether by succeeding or by default, you'll learn. And so David himself learned a lot of things by success, but also by failure, David had learned. And so God pressed upon him and moved upon his heart, and he wrote most of the Psalms. This morning we have what I like to call a family psalm. A family psalm. If your Bible has titles underneath the chapters, it'll say something like this, at least my Bible does, King James Bible. It says, under Psalm 127, a song of degrees for Solomon. A song of degrees for Solomon. And so if this psalm was for Solomon, who was it from? Most believe, in all likelihood, it was from his father David. Now, we know this morning that Solomon had a mother. Obviously, or he wouldn't have got here, right? His mother, the mother Bathsheba. And we know that God was not the author that put David and Bathsheba together. We know that. We know that David fell, and he called for Bathsheba. And we know that through that experience, he called Bathsheba into his courts. And we know that through that experience came a pregnancy and came Solomon. And so we have a dad riding a son. Words of wisdom here. And it says, a song of degrees for Solomon. So we see that this psalm was dedicated to Solomon by his father David. David had a little bit of experience in being a parent. David had a little bit of experience in succeeding in life, but also failing in life. And so with all of these experiences working together, he lays it out for his boy. This is also a song of degrees, if you notice in that entitlement. A song of degrees or elevation. And so this song was literally sung, song of degrees, as they went up to Temple Mount to worship the Lord. This psalm was read, this psalm was sung. And the word psalm and song can be used interchangeably while going through Psalms. But it was literally sung We have five verses, and we have divisions in the Bible and chapters, but they just took it for what it was, how it was written, and they sung it from start to finish on the way to worship the Lord. But it was for Solomon from David. And this psalm was sung on the way to worship. Solomon in the Bible was known as the wisest. He was the very wisest of all men in Scripture. Yet his father David teaches him to look higher than himself, to look further from, or look further from himself, to look higher from himself, to look unto God, to look beyond. No matter how wise he was called upon, he was challenged by his father David to look beyond himself and beyond his own thinking. You know, this morning as dads and moms and parents, we try to raise our kids the right way, and most parents throw everything at it, doing all that we possibly can to be the very best parents and raise our kids the right way. But with that said, David tells Solomon, his son, "Son, I want you to look beyond your own thinking while trying to raise a household. Look higher than yourself in life circumstances. You are a wise son, a smart son, yet I want you to take God along the way in your undertakings, especially in building a house." And so this morning, I want you to notice in verse number 1 what the Scripture says. Psalm 127 in verse number 1. "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." We'll go ahead and read verse number 2. "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep." I want to stop there in verse number 2. And let me just add this while we're introducing our subject this morning, that this family psalm does deal with family parts. In verse number 1, it deals with the house, the home. It also deals with the parents. I would say the parents in verse number 1 are the watchmen. And then in verse number 2, it deals with, or in verse number 2 down through verse number 5, it actually deals with and begins to deal with the children. But this morning, I want to try to stick, if I could, with verse number 1. And I want to preach for a few moments on this subject. Is the Lord building your house? Is the Lord building your house? I said a moment ago, and I'll say it again, that we as moms and dads, we do our very best for our families, don't we? We try to work hard and make money and make everything as luxurious as we can for our families and to make sure that they have everything that they need and sometimes what they want. We try to do these things and accomplish these things. But this morning, if God isn't the foreman, if God isn't the overseer, if the Lord isn't the one calling the shots as a foreman would do upon a job, then the home is not fit for a family to be raised. Brother Ceylon, I think, knows a lot about being a foreman, don't you? And in his times past of overseeing jobs and construction sites where he would work and oversee projects, you would make sure that everything is being done correctly and on time, and everything was fit together according to the blueprint. So the same thing is with the Lord this morning. He is and wants to be the foreman of your home. He wants to go according to His blueprint. But you see, we got to make sure that while we're trying to make the very best atmosphere for our families at home and lives to live, that we include Him in the equation. This morning, is the Lord building your house? I want to mention just a few things, if I could, from verse number 1, maybe verse number 2, and then we'll be through. Number 1, I want to mention in verse 1, the house. Notice what he says. He says, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. Now, the word house here has a couple different meanings, but they both mean the same thing. It means a dwelling habitation, or it means a household. And so he says, except the Lord build the dwelling habitation. Except the Lord build the household, they labor in vain that build it. This actually has a third meaning, and it means family of descendants. And so as you study this verse and study this word, it goes without saying that a house means a home here, or a place where you raise your family, but not limited to that. It can mean a church house. It can mean a business. And if the Lord is not the foreman, if the Lord is not the head, if the Lord does not build any of those things, everybody involved with it are laboring in vain. And the word vain means emptiness. It means zero. So we see the word house. And means household, means habitation. A lot of times in Scripture, a house is used to describe a family. You don't have to turn there, but in Joshua 24, in verse number 15, he talks about that. He says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Joshua says that the Lord is the foreman of his house, and we're going to serve him. So, even in the day and time in which we live, we use the word house in reference to our homes as well. We say something like this. We have rules in this house. Don't we say that? Or at least we should have rules in our homes. And so the word house this morning means a home. It means a place where you raise your family. It means that place where God should oversee and call the shots. Question is this morning, is the Lord building your home? Is the Lord building your house? Now, I want you to notice something else in that first phrase in this verse. He says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. That's a pretty stout statement. Except the Lord oversee the project. Except the Lord call the shots. The people that are laboring in that home, house, church, building, they're laboring in vain. They may be working, they may be sweating, they may be going the extra mile, but if they're not including Jesus, it all equals zero. It all is equivalent to nothing. And so, I want you to hold your place here and hold that thought. Turn, if you would, to Genesis chapter number 11. Genesis chapter number 11. And I want you to see a certain occasion when a group of people decided to leave God out of the equation in something they were building. Genesis chapter number 11. There was a group that said that we are going to make a name for ourselves. This is known as the Tower of Babel verses. Look, if you would, in verse number 1 of Genesis 11. Just stay with me. We're heading in a certain direction. Genesis 11, verse 1, and the whole earth was of one language and of one speech, just how the Lord intended, unity in the world and in the earth. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, notice these next two words, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime they had for mortar. And they said, go to, let us, notice this, let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name. Let us make us a name. Lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of men builded. I want to pause there. The Lord came down to see what they were building for themselves, since they did not involve the Lord in the equation. And the Lord came down to see the city and tower, and the tower which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language. And this they began to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Can I say this? They wanted to make a name for themselves. They wanted to build a tower that reached up to heaven. Now, in Old Testament times, this would be a form of works, working your way to heaven. But not only that, it goes a step further. And so they were not commanded to build this in Babylon. They under the leadership of Nimrod, they wanted to make a name for themselves, and they wanted to build them up, and they wanted to get what they wanted, so they began to build and make a name for themselves. And before the Lord came down and confounded their language, what kind of language did they have? A unified language. Before they decided to make a name for themselves and exclude the Lord from the equation, there was unity among the people. There was a oneness. There was the blessing of God upon them and their environment and their society. Everybody understood everybody. And do you know, in the home, when we began to build our families and we get married, we build our families, we begin to raise a family, and we include the Lord in the equation, there's the blessing of God on our family. There's unity in our family when God is part of the equation. There's a oneness in the home. Everybody's doing the same thing. The family's going to church. The family's worshiping God. The family is giving in tithes and offerings, and the family watches the same things during family hour at home, and the family listens to the same things, and there's unity in the family when God is part of the equation. But when you take God out of the equation, it goes from unity to disunity. There's division in the home when God is taken out of the equation. No one understands one another. This one's doing that and their own personal thing. This one's over here doing their own personal thing, because there's no unity anymore in the family, because God has been taken out of the equation. You see, here in the book of Genesis, this Tower of Babel, before they decided to do their own thing, build their own name, a tower that reached high to the heavens, and everybody would talk about what great laborers they were, and tower builder they were, builders they were. Everything was fine, and they had the blessing of God upon their family or upon their society. But the moment that they decided to do what they wanted to do, God came down. Look again in verse number 7. Go to, let us go down, and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. You want to know why this morning there's different languages? That's why. You want to know why this morning there's Spanish, there's other kinds of languages in this world, there's English, there's Paulding County talk, Hiram. We got Lily's best friend with us today, Charisse from, they used to go to school together, one of her best friends. She's the best friend of many, has many. But we went to her house on vacation to visit her and her parents. And first thing I said when we walked in, I said, the Hiram Hicks are here. Hiram Hicks. A lot of different languages, and the reason for all the different languages in our world was because of disobedience. God had a unified language, so there was nothing misunderstood. Everything was plainly put, and the blessing of God was on this society and this people. But because of Nimrod and his leadership, because of the people that followed him, they said, you know, basically, away with God. Let's build us a name. Let's lift us up. And so the moment they did that, that wall of blessing came down. Now this morning we're talking about God being the builder. And I want to ask a question. Is the Lord building your home? Is the Lord building your home this morning? Is there unity in your home? Is the blessing of God in your home? Is God the foreman? Is he calling the shots? Do we say, Lord, is it okay for this to come into our house? Lord, is it okay for us to associate with these people? God, is it okay for my daughter to associate with these people? Or do I have the attitude, Lily, associate with whoever you want to? Doesn't matter what we watch on TV, listen to. Doesn't matter. Just do anything anybody wants to do in our house. We can just do anything we want to do. Just let it happen. And when you do that, you exclude God from the equation, and that hedge of protection comes down, and the devil gets in the home, and there's division. And listen, things are being ripped and torn apart. The home that was once a blessing, the home, your home that was once a little bit of heaven on earth is now a little bit of hell on earth. And listen, just because we're here this morning and we're all smiling to one another, that doesn't mean you got a little bit of heaven in your home. I know better than that. Nor am I saying this morning that I have a perfect home. But God's my witness. I'm trying to have as close as perfect home as I can possibly get. When our family unit comes together, when we come home, I want there to be joy and laughter and peace, Brother Ceylon. When we all call it a night and we go to our places, our separate places to rest, and we turn the night light out, good night, daughter, good night, wife. I want us to be able to lay our heads on our pillow and have sweet sleep. You know what it's like to lay your head on your pillow and to really be at peace with yourself and God? That's a thing that is so lost in our day. Many people don't have that kind of peace when they lay their heads on their pillows at night. Is God building your home? Or are you calling the shots? Back to our verse this morning in Psalms, Psalm 127. Verse number 1, he says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. What good is it this morning to labor and work and build and have a big bank account if there's no unity in the home? What good is it to have a new home and to have a brand new car and to go to all kinds of events and be parts of all kinds of things in the society if your marriage is falling apart? It's not good. It's empty. It's zero. You're really running from what the true problem is in your life. And the true problem in your life is that you're away from the Lord. Because when we come together as a family unit, it's kind of like, well, we got the cross on the screen. We have the cross there. And someone said one time, when wife and husband come together in the cross in the center, there's unity. The cross will always bring your family together. The cross will always bring your marriage together. The cross will always make you a better spouse and a better parent. Listen, we all fail as parents from time to time in being a spouse. Nobody's perfect this morning, but you must come back to the cross. Is the Lord building your house? Or do you even care anymore? You say, Brother Justin, the Lord was once the builder of our house. But something happened and we just kind of drifted away. We didn't mean for it to happen. We didn't tell the Lord, I'm turning my back on you. I love the Lord, but it was something during the process of life, during the shuffle of life, during the pain and during the problems, we just turned our back on God. We didn't mean to. And now the Lord is not part of the equation in our home. Our home is divided. Mom and dad don't even talk. Kids are rebellious. This morning we need to return back to our foreman and allow him to shape our homes. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Let me mention another thing. We see a house in this verse, but then we see the watchman. We see the watchman. I kind of tippy-toed on it already, but notice, if you would, the second phrase in that verse. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Now, I love the words, or the word watchman. And there's a lot of places in the Old Testament where watchmen, and spelled out that way, watchmen were used. We know that a watchman in general, a person of security, a security guard, would guard the city. In this context, he's talking about a city now, and he's talking about a watchman that is guarding or should be guarding a city. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. And so we have watchmen here. These watchmen of the city, they would walk the walls. Kind of like when Nehemiah rebuilt the walls. At one particular part of that story, that account, Nehemiah's men were on the walls, and they had a sword in one hand and a hammer in the other. That sword was to fight off the enemy that was trying to come in, put it back in the sheath, and keep on building. Can I say that as parents and as being a spouse myself, we don't have the luxury to just fight the enemy all the time. But we have to fight the enemy and build. If you just spend your time fighting the enemy, then all of this other stuff is unguarded, or at least you're not moving forward as a family. You're stuck. So not only we got to be fighting the enemy, but we've got to be building. And so in Nehemiah's day, they were building and battling. They were walking the walls. They were watchmen and they were workers. They were fighting the enemy, and yet they were moving forward. In order for our families and our homes and houses to move forward, even as us as individuals to move forward, we have to not only battle, but we have to build. It's building and battling this morning. And so the watchmen would walk the walls, and He would build in battle. The watchman would act as a fireman. If there was a fire, then this watchman would come and do his part dealing with that, putting out a fire. He would act as a police officer and take care of crime in the city. He would assume all of these roles. He would protect against burglary, and he would protect against evil. And so not only in this verse there's a house, but there's the watchman. And while David is mixing all of this together, he is emphasizing the duty of a watchman, that he should be on his post. The watchman of the city, he says, the watchman waketh but in vain if the Lord don't keep the city. This watchman has an responsibility. This watchman, what good if the watchman were to awake and not put out any fires if he saw them? What good would this watchman be if he was to walk the walls and not fight the enemy? What good would this watchman be if there was crime in the city and he wasn't taking care of it as the crime occurred or the evil occurred? He would be a watchman in vain, serving no purpose. To try to tie this together, I want to read you a verse. You could turn there if you like, or we'll just get it on the screen. In Habakkuk chapter number 2, listen to what Habakkuk said about being a watchman. Habakkuk chapter number 2 and verse number 1. He said this: I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower. Just follow along. There it is. And will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And so Habakkuk says this. He says that I'm not going to be sitting on my watch. He says I want to stand on my watch. He says my watch is my post, is my obligated duty. And he says I'm going to be present mentally on my watch. I'm going to be present physically on my watch. I'm going to wait and see what the Lord has to say to me on my watch. And let me just say that this is a person who is a watchman for the Lord. He is present mentally. He is present physically. He is relying upon the Lord for instruction. So back in our verse, Psalm 127, in verse number 1, he talks about, unless the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. What I'm saying to you this morning is simply this, is that we as watchmen, we're all watchmen, and if God has given you a family, we are called to not sleep on our watch, but we're called to be present mentally and physically upon our watch. We're to guard our marriages and guard our homes and guard our kids, and we are to seek the Lord and allow Him to be protector. Ask God for guidance and help. Because if we're not that kind of watchman, the watchman we are is a watchman that's in vain. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2 of Psalm 127. He says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. You see, there are some this morning, and listen, it goes really without saying, as the verse says, normally those who get up early do not stay up late. And those that stay up late do not get up early. And so he says, it is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat. Then he goes on and says, to eat the bread of sorrows. So what is he talking about? Well, those who normally get up early don't stay up late. Those who stay up late don't normally get up early. Then there are those who do both. They stay up late and they get up early. And they do this to secure wealth and means. Let me just make a little note here. Okay, some people stay up late, they get up early, and the Lord is still the Lord of their life. Okay, I'm not saying that. And they still honor God. Some people have to do that, get up late, stay up late and get up early. But he says, it's vain for you to rise up early to stay up late, because the end result is that there's not going to be any satisfaction with what you're doing. You're going to eat the bread of sorrows. And so there are some who do both, who try to secure wealth and means by staying up late, getting up early. And they do this without the Lord. Some do. And the end result is eating a bread of sorrows. Or eating bread of sorrows. Look over, if you would, in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. We're getting ready to close in a minute. Notice in verse number 2 what he says. Isaiah 55, verse 2. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sheer mercies of David. Look at verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found, and call upon him while he is near. What is that? That's somebody who is living this life and trying to earn and get wealth and gain and true satisfaction apart from Jesus. But they're not achieving that. And back in our verse, Psalm 127, verse number 2, he says, it's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. What is he saying? He's just simply saying that except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. This morning, is the Lord building your home? We see the house, we see the watchmen, and their duty is to guard the city, but also to guard the home. And then lastly, we just touched on it, but we'll go ahead and finish it out. In verse number 2, we see the satisfaction. The house, the watchmen, the satisfaction. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. Then he says, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Whenever we keep the Lord first in our life, whenever he's the foreman, whenever things are operating like they're supposed to do, supposed to be operating like, and there's unity in the home, and God's blessing is in the home, there will be sweet sleep. There will be rest. There'll be satisfaction. He giveth his beloved sleep. Sleeps at night, he sings over us when we sleep at night. When we get up early, he gives us strength. We work hard, and we work hard to honor God, and we wake up early, and he gives us strength for the day. Again, at night we sleep, and he sings over us. No need to stay up late at night worrying about things. No need to stay up late at night dealing with things we shouldn't be dealing with. He giveth his beloved sleep. He is our contentment. He keeps our minds at ease. And so God gives bodily sleep. That is a gift. But I will say, in contrast to that, inordinate, excessive care of the things of this world is vain and fruitless, and this will weary a person's life. Going after the things of the world, continuing to get, to grab, to build them a name, those things in excess will weary a person. And they'll come home each night and wonder, why am I not at peace? Why am I not happy? I've worked all day. I've tried to be a good parent, a good spouse. I try to be good in character and I try to do nice things. But why am I not at peace? Maybe because God is not your builder. Maybe because there's never been a time and place that you've actually invited Jesus to come into your heart and life and be your foreman. To build your home, to allow you to be the parent and the spouse that you should be. Or maybe you're here this morning and you say, Brother Justin, I am already saved. Jesus is my foreman. I just struggle sometimes. And that's fine because we all do. We all struggle. Maybe you just want to come to the altar this morning and say, Lord, I just want to come to say thank you for protecting me. Will you continue to do so? We always give an altar invitation. And for many reasons, people come. But for whatever reason you have, the invitation is now given and you can come if you need to come. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you today. God, I pray that you'll just take the words I've tried to make sense with. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll apply them to the hearts of those that are here, those that need them the most, even those watching on Facebook. Lord, I pray that you would work mightily. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand to our feet.